meeting to order. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy's excused. Mayor Ronald Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan? City staff, Justin Johnson, city manager, Ashley Coronado, city clerk, Sharon Bono, finance director, Alberti Chavez, police chief, Alda Orduño, city attorney.
Thank you very much for the invocation. Let us turn our thoughts to the violence and war that permeates around the planet and have a moment of silence for its victims. Thank you. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have no announcements or proclamations tonight, so we will go directly to the call to the public, and let's start off with Mr. Andy Heretic.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I wanted to get up here tonight and acknowledge something that happened in Tucson. I guess it was a week ago. The city of Bisbee was very well represented at an award ceremony in Tucson for the 40 Under 40. This is an organization in Tucson that takes young people, men and women who are executives, and they honor them for their achievements for being under 40. I know I didn't tell you I was doing this. So anyway, our city manager, and Douglas and Bisbee were represented this year at the 40 Under 40. And our city manager, out of over 400 applicants, was selected as one of the 40 people to be honored at the 40 Under 40. So it was a proud time to be there. It was a lot of energy, a lot of 40-year-olds. and their families and their parents, and it was really inspirational, and I was just really proud to say that I'm from Bisbee and that our city manager was actually awarded that. I just wanted to come up and acknowledge that in front of all of you tonight.
Thank you, Andy. Let's next go to Mr. Richard Green. We have quite a few people signed up, so let's, if we can, try to keep it around 3 minutes or so. I don't keep a stopwatch.
Sure.
But
my name is Richard Green. I live at 603 Tombstone Canyon. Good news. The COP21 just finished, and almost 200 countries agreed to cut carbon. I finished my petition to divest our money in Wall Street and invest our money in Main Street. I'd like to read a quick quote from Mr. Bill Moyers, titled "The End Game of Democracy." "We are so close to losing our democracy to the mercenary class. The predators in Washington are only this far from monopoly control of our government. They bought the political system lock, stock, and pork barrel, making change from within impossible. They get the tax breaks, the loopholes, the contracts, the payoffs. They fix the systems for the multimillionaire hedge fund managers and private equity tycoons. They pay less of the tax on their income than school teachers, police, and firefighters. They give subsidies to rich corporate farms and cut food stamps to people facing hunger. They remove our oversight of the Wall Street casinos, bail out the bankers who torpedoed the economy, fight the modest reforms of Dodd-Frank, prolong tax havens to multinationals, and stick it to the consumers while rewarding corporations. The journalists who can tell us these things rarely do, and some never. Watch any evening news and ask yourself if you are learning anything about how Washington and Wall Street works. If the systems were truly exposed for what it is, outraged citizens would descend on Washington and Wall Street and tear it apart with their bare hands." And I'd like to read the petition. And the petition is going to be at, there's one available at the food co-op. The title is "Divest Our Money from Wall Street, Invest Our Money in Main Street." We, the undersigned residing in Bisbee, urge the city government to, 1, create a fund that invests in socially responsible projects that are environmentally sustainable, like renewable energy, organic farming, mass public transportation, and lending to small businesses, etc. Number two, start to divest its holdings from large Wall Street banks, like dangerous fossil fuel development and weapons for war. And number three, allow citizens to invest in and donate to this fund to get initiated. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, let's go to Cynthia Conroy. I arranged them in my own special way.
But I'm not ready.
No.
Oh. I'll have to listen and then talk.
That's okay. I forgive you.
You can
Thanks for the privilege of going first.
You're pretty good at ad-libbing, so.
Okay. So, hello, everybody. I'm Cynthia Conroy, and I live at 608 Shattuck. Mayor, Council, congratulations. You all showed up on this cold night, but most warm-felt congratulations to the 41, 42? The number one 40-year-old that I know, Justin Johnson. Okay, so this was written by Char Poirier, who unfortunately her brother had a severe health problem, so she's not here, and I told her I would read it. After reading and listening to those who claim that the brief filming of an independent movie in Old Bisbee ruined the recent Shop Local the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I would like to offer the following observations. When those reporting the news fail to obtain a full account of a situation, it leads to not just biased reporting, but incorrect news being offered to readers of those from out of town who look at headlines or buy small town papers. In talking with shop and restaurant owners and visitors, their take was that it was typically Bisbee. Anything can happen, and that is what makes the town unpredictably exciting. A majority of people in town during the filming were positively impressed that filming was going on in Bisbee on such a busy and lovely day. So a better and more truthful account could have been sought from the majority who did not complain and from those visitors who got a kick out of it. It's already been established that there was a lot of hearsay, and I guess we'll get to hear more of it tonight. This is me, Ed Lebing. However, there weren't really reporters present that I know of, and so, of course, that's when you get hearsay. Anyway, some sample quotes that Char, a reporter of 8 years, got by walking around after the fact. You wouldn't see that happening in the large or cities. It was really cool. Quote, my customers loved it. Quote, we just got out of our car and took videos of the filming as it went on. It was fun for all of us. The delay was about 5 to 10 minutes. Quote, it had absolutely no effect on my business. In fact, it was one of the best days I've ever had. I could put the names with the quotes, but he said, she said, Kathy Souden, is not the point. The point is that this could have been a truly positive story for the city instead of being portrayed as a disaster. All that over a question of permit, and again tonight, the story could have been, in a realistic light, that Bisbee is a happening place and you never know what's around the next corner. It could have been good press, not derogatory. What should matter to everyone in business, politics, and living in this town is the negative image put forth from an extremely small group that should be ashamed to exaggerate a situation that was enjoyed by far more people than those inconvenienced. The rudeness of tone of the stories in the Observer and the Bisbee Daily Review only serve to perpetuate the ugliness and impatience of the few and ignore the high spirit and patience of the many. I called it hijacking the press, but I'll be talking to that at number six. Thank you all very much.
Cynthia Conroy, thank you. Next, let's go to David Rose.
Good evening. Thank you for your time. I'm David Rose. I live at 51A Spring Canyon. Last council, we heard from a few people that were upset about the filming that recently took place here in Bisbee and painted a picture of financial disaster and unhappy tourists. Well, tonight, I'm here to talk about the other side of that coin, the positive side that the papers did not cover, the side that would lead to headlines like feature film shoot enhances small town holiday with excitement. instead of the misleading small-town holiday ruined by film crew. Headlines that encourage future production crews to come to our town and pump their money into our economy instead of convincing them to take their creativity and cash elsewhere. I'd like to talk about the majority of the shop owners that were not here because their sales numbers are up significantly over the same weekend last year. Go talk to them and you'll hear a different story. Let's talk about the direct positive financial impact on our town. Money that was distributed over a wide range of businesses and people. The crew catering alone ran in the thousands. Daily breakfasts from the BBC, lunches from BBC, Jimmy's, Tui's, pizzas from Tavolo's and Screamin' Banshee. Evening meals and drinks for large parties of the actors, producers, and the director at our local restaurants. They went over budget on their $3,000 for props and wardrobe. That was all spent here at our antique shops on Main Street and at some of the local consignment and thrift shops. Thousands more were spent by the actors and crew during the breaks where they went out and did their holiday shopping here, taking advantage of the unique and special shops that this town has to offer. Also, many locals enjoyed the opportunity to participate in the film as extras. Now, let's talk about the indirect financial impact, the exposure and free advertising that came via social media. Go take a look at our new Discover Bisbee website, and you'll see that Bisbee, there's a section, Bisbee and Films. We advertise our town as a place where films are shot. There's a list of every film ever made here. Also, notice that none of them are current. One of the actors, Eden XL, has over 2 million views from her latest music video. She was tweeting out to her fans about how cool our funky little town is and how much she was enjoying Bisbee. Disney star Justin Howard took time to go out into the crowds that had gathered to take photos with groups of young fans that I'm sure certain were blasting them out on Facebook. Kix Brooks of Brooks and Dunn, the largest selling music duo of all time, was here as a producer and an actor. He loved the Bisbee experience, and he plans to bring a group of writers and producers back to Bisbee for a writer's retreat. All of this is worth far more than we could ever spend on advertising our town to bring in more tourism. So even though some people were inconvenienced for 10 to 15 minutes at a time, you know, I believe that it was overwhelmingly a positive thing to happen here. Yes, it might have been better planned. Our city manager has already addressed that and has promised to make sure that it is all handled by him in the future. So I say to you, don't allow the complaints of a few to overshadow the immensely positive impact of these types of productions that they have on our town. Let's do everything we can to support and promote future productions filming here in Bisbee. Thank you.
Thank you, David Rose. Let's now go to Karen Justice.
I think I have 3 minutes, so I thought I would take the time. You know my name. I wanted to tell you something about me. I wanted to discuss the library and the fire district. I believe I have an informed opinion on both of those issues. And then I also would like to bring to the council and its members and our mayor some resources that you may have overlooked in helping you make some solutions, find some solutions to our problems Bisbee has. I've been here since 1947, not continually. I moved here in 1947 with my parents, so I've seen a few things happen in Bisbee. I actually went to the old high school. In 2004, I bought the Hoppies house. I live at 922 Upper Sims Road. And since then, I've lived here full-time. I have two businesses. I have several employees. One of my businesses is Justice Financial Advising, and the other one is Calo Opportunities, LLC, which you probably never heard of. But we hire a lot of people, and we do a lot of good things for Bisbee. So I'm invested in Bisbee, and I've set up an endowment with the library that we have so many authors that the income from the endowment purchases the local authors' books each year. So the very first thing about the library, and I'll get a little upset over this one. I'm sorry, I haven't been to council meetings because I spend most of my time at the Cochise College Foundation. I'm the treasurer, and that's the thrust of my passion. However, when I read in one sentence several times that the library is a non-essential expense, I don't want to ever see those two terms in a sentence again. And it's beyond the scope of what the library does for everybody, but I want to offer the advisory board as a resource. I'm on the advisory board. We have two retired librarians on the board. One is Cindy Combs and the other one is Joan Reichel. There's myself, a business person. I've owned businesses for 30 years in helping solutions and cutting costs. But as far as a non-essential service, that's in Congress. The second thing is, and that's the elephant, the elephant in the living room is the fire district. I have read a couple of times that someone was misinformed and referred to in scare tactics as that fire districts, that there's reduced services and risk of life, which is totally misinformed. Rural cities, the only viable solution is a fire district. Even, and I have not talked to him directly, I've talked to two people, have already talked to our new fire chief, they understand this. We do not have to do a study of the fire district because many have been done. All we have to do is bring them in. Once again, I offer my office. I have staff. I have a graduate degree. I can research. I can be a mediator. I can bring this data. And to save the city money, I offer my services in that. So those are my two issues. I don't like to hear loose language and misinformed comments. I think it makes us look ignorant. I'm very proud of Bisbee. I think, and you maybe corrected me on this, the last time we had the census, we had the highest level of education, I think, of any city in Cochise County, and maybe even in Arizona. We have more master's degrees. It doesn't mean, you know, we may be educated beyond our intelligence, but let's not embarrass ourselves. And please use this as a resource. Tap into your library advisory board and my office at any time. We're here for you. We want to help you make the right decisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Karen Justice. I believe that concludes call to the public. So we will now go to item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $478,135.66.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $478,135.66. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda, items A through C, and I will read those. A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of Mayor and Council held on November the 3rd, 2015 at 7 p.m. B, approval of the resignation of Scott Reese from the Airport Advisory Committee. C, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by the Bisbee Pride for an event to be held at Club Kilimanjaro, 33 Subway Street on Saturday, January the 23rd, 2016 from 10 a.m. till midnight. Kathy Soden, applicant. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through C.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items A through C. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Eardley?
Aye. Motion passes. Item number three, presentation of the City of Bisbee annual audit report for the year ended June 30th, 2015. By Olivia Brasher, CPA of Fester & Chapman, P.C., Ms. Sharon Buono.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The City Charter requires that the Council to designate an independent CPA to perform an independent audit of the City's financial statements on an annual basis. The responsibility is to express an opinion on whether the financial statements are fairly represented based on their audit. It is imperative that the Mayor and Council have accurate financial information upon which to base the policy decisions that the management will use to run the city. With that said, I would like to introduce Mrs. Olivia Brasher of Fester & Chapman. She's here to present the audit of the financial statements for the year ended June 30th, 2015.
Ms. Olivia Brasher.
Yes. Here is your clicker, ma'am.
I'm going to turn the lights.
Thank you. Mayor, Council, citizens, I'm pleased to be here tonight to present the results of the FY15 audit. First and foremost, I'd like to thank Ms. Bona and the Finance Department for their hard work in preparing for the audit, and also Mr. Johnson for his diligence in following up on any matters that came to our attention that were necessary, and also you, Mayor Ertl, appreciate that. This is Fester and Chapman's 14th year to perform the city's audit. We specialize in auditing local governments and nonprofit organizations throughout the state of Arizona. The purpose of the audit is to give an opinion on the city's financial statements as to whether they are fairly stated in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. And during the audit, we also test compliance with certain laws, regulations, and federal grant requirements. The audit is performed over several weeks. We first come out a week in June, perform preliminary work. We observe the Queen Mine inventory. We come back in October and we test multiple transactions. We confirm balances, make inquiries of management, the mayor, employees, and read council minutes, among other things during the audit. In summary, the results of the audit, we provide an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, which is the best possible result. There are significant estimates in the financial statements. Most significantly, this year is the first year that the net pension liability for ASRS and the PSPRS had to go on the balance sheet for the city. There's one sensitive note disclosure this year, and it's quite extensive about the pension liability. This year, GASB 68 required a pension liability of $20.7 million to go on the city's balance sheet. I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along, but in essence, this liability is based on actuaries' estimates of what it would cost to pay out current and retired employees that are enrolled in these retirement systems. The city meets its obligation monthly for the required contribution, so this amount would not have to be paid out within the next year. It's merely an estimate of the impact that it would have on the city's financial statements. During the audit, we had no difficulties or disagreements with management. No fraud was found as a result of our audit procedures. We also tested the allocations of the sales tax revenue and determined that they were allocated correctly to each fund as voted on. There is a material weakness noted as a finding over the financial statements due to a journal entry that had to be made based on capital projects and how they were recorded in the financial statements. There was also a material weakness over federal compliance, and it had to do with the same capital project and reporting that on the schedule of expenditures of federal awards. Those were corrected in the financial statements, so the final product includes those corrections, and management has implemented procedures that we've recommended to make sure that these accounting transactions are accounted for properly in the future. Basically, implemented internal controls to help ensure that these errors are caught before the audit comes out. Just some overall highlights. Management, Ms. Bono prepares the MD&A, Management's Discussion and Analysis, which is included in your financial statements. It's an overview of the city's operations in FY15. Most significantly, beginning net position was restated by $16.4 million to include the net pension liability at the beginning of the financial period and increased to $20.7 million as of 6/30/15. The city's total net position increased by $7,000 to $10.3 million of ending fund balance for the citywide financials. This includes two components. Business type activities have a fund balance of $14.6 million. Governmental type activities, which includes general fund and other non-major funds with differences in accounting, they're not in the general fund itself, but in the government-wide statements, you're required to report the net pension liability. So this resulted in a net deficit of $4.3 million for governmental activities on the city's financial statements. Overall revenues from governmental activities decreased by $1.9 million. This is due to the Arizona Street Project, was completed last year, and so that was reflected in contributed capital last year that didn't recur in 15. The city's business type activities, the revenues increased $1.8 million in 15 over 14, and that was due to timing of capital grants that were recorded this year that were not in last year's financials. Also in the citywide financial statements, expenditures from governmental activities increased by $1.6 million. This was primarily due to the pension expense that need to be recorded on the government-wide financial statements. Expenses from business-type activities decreased by $598,000. And then total non-current liabilities, as restated, increased from $28 million to $33 million. Increase of $4.6 million, and included in that number is the increase in the net pension liability, and then also the WIFA solar loan. In the fund statements, the general fund reported a decrease of fund balance of $308,000, primarily due to lower than expected ambulance fee revenue, and then also increased public safety pension expenses. Other governmental funds reported an increase in fund balance of $77,000, and the total decrease to governmental-type funds was $231,000. In the business-type funds, the enterprise funds, wastewater had an increase in net position of $1.98 million, primarily due to capital grants. Sanitation had a decrease in net position of $42,000, and Queen Mine reported an increase of $16,000. The total net increase to business-type funds was $1.96 million. This concludes my presentation of the results of the audit. I'd like to open it up for questions.
Any questions or comments from the council? I think we fairly clearly understand, and we had a good conversation earlier this afternoon. I appreciate it very much, Ms. Brasher. We appreciate your service for Fester and Chapman and the service to the city that you provide us very much. And if there's no other questions from the council, comments, Council Member Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you very much. I have a question. Is there anything that could happen that would make that pension of $20 million come payable?
No, what's payable every month is your required contribution, ASRS and PSPS. Yeah. So that net pension liability just represents the future expenses or obligation of the city to fund your public employees' retirement. It's based on actuaries' estimates of mm-hmm. longevity, current and retired employees that are in the plan within the city's plans right now, and it's an estimate. It will fluctuate based on estimated earnings of the plan, cost of living adjustments, net present value. So each year it will be adjusted upwards or downwards.
And we just go with the flow. But my question, again, is like, mm-hmm. I'm not asking you to tell me necessarily the future, but another economic, disaster or problem that people start looking at these things and asking them to be paid and, be made whole or be made full.
No, that would not happen.
Okay.
No.
No other questions. I do want to thank Sharon Blono, the city finance director, the city manager, various department heads, because they were all interviewed, including myself, to a limited degree, certainly. And once again, Olivia Brasher, CPA for Fester and Chapman. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And have a good drive back. Item number 4, discussion and possible recommendations to staff on how to address pertinent code enforcement related items. This was put on the agenda by Mr. Doug Dunn, Council Member Ward 2. But first we have one person signed to speak. Maybe we should listen to her first. Anita Fox, are you here? There you are.
Good evening. My name's Anita Fox. I reside at 39 Hazard Street. In Warren, and I really appreciate the council and the mayor and our city manager for addressing this issue, and I particularly want to thank Doug Dunn for initiating this topic. and then following up with the department heads. It's my understanding that our police chief has already toured our neighborhood and is taking some action, and I really appreciate that regarding all of the abandoned vehicles on Hazard and Black Knob. I noticed that some of them actually have license plates on, so I'm assuming something was done, and I appreciate that very much. And not only are they eyesores, it's also a fire hazard, so I don't know if there's any way the department heads would be interested in working together, because that's an issue that would affect both of them. I don't know if that's anything that's appropriate or not, but it is a concern for safety other than just how it looks. And my concern is that the issues are not just talked about endlessly and swept under the rug, but will be addressed with measures that will result in improving our neighborhoods. If there are regulations and laws on the books, they should be enforced in an unbiased manner. I hope that tonight's discussion will result in positive actions in a timely manner. And I thank you very much, especially Doug, to Mr. Dunn, for bringing this topic up. And I appreciate the time. Thank you to our police chief for taking action. And congratulations. It's so nice to have somebody young in office.
Anita Fox, thank you. Once again, this was placed on the agenda by Councilmember Dunn, and I will defer to you.
Thank you, Mayor. Certainly on October 28th, the council held a work session to address concerns expressed in the community regarding weeds, trash, unsightly properties, health and fire hazards, abandoned vehicles. There was a lot of positive, informative input provided, and a number of cases presented in terms of violations, problems. I did not want to lose what came out of that, and so I took it upon myself to meet with all the pertinent department heads. Joe Ward was a building inspector, Andy Heratic with Public Works, Fred Hansen, city attorney, Chief Achave, Chief Bernalite, as well as Justin Johnson, to discuss how should we encourage, how should we direct people to voice concerns or complaints, issues, and then what would be the process in terms of responding to those. And that's what I have brought before you. The agenda item says discuss possible recommendations to staff, actually it's recommendations of staff. This has come out of my discussions with staff. Hopefully this is something that will appear on the city's webpage, can also be printed in the local newspaper in terms of really clarifying to people how do you bring issues to the community, and what can you expect in terms of response. Hopefully you've read this. Again, I'm presenting it to make sure that we're all on board. A couple of comments, I guess I want to bring some attention to in terms of implementation, parking issues. I state here in response to citizens and neighborhood complaints, owners of illegal parked vehicles will be tagged, and I think it's important to indicate here that I think there was some desire that we would initiate a community-wide campaign to eliminate all unlicensed abandoned vehicles. I think in discussing this with the police chief, that is probably more than we can undertake at this point in time immediately with the existing staff. And so it is going to be something that will be initiated in response to citizen and neighborhood initiative. And that is what has happened, and again, I commend the chief for actions that was taken on certain issues that were brought to us on the 28th. Also, in terms of the property maintenance code violations, it discusses the process you would go through in terms of responding to issues, and I use the word that Joe Ward used with me because I thought it was so descriptive. We're going to start off with a friendly letter. rather than a hit on the head, a club on the head, and then progress and working with individuals who might be, who have unsightly properties, and how can we assist them if that is necessary. We're still kind of discussing how to proceed with legal action, but that will certainly be done jointly by the attorney, Mr. Ward, and the city manager, addressing issue by issue and setting priorities and addressing those. Another thing that I thought probably was the most useful thing that came out of that meeting on the 28th was the statements made by a number of people in terms of the need for neighborhood cleanup, of neighbors coming together to work together on cleanup rather than being strictly a city enforcement process. And a document that I locate online, I encourage all of you to go online to find it. It's the Arizona Clean and Beautiful Program. It's called 10 Steps to Organizing an Illegal Dump Cleanup. Andy has just been named to the Board of Directors to the Arizona Clean and Beautiful Program, and certainly this is a resource that we're bringing then to this community. It's a very useful program in terms of how it really addresses all the issues, provides legal documents in terms of how to get approval from the owner as well as volunteers in terms of doing neighborhood cleanup. The other thing that I found particularly informative in meeting with department heads, and that is the commitment of the city to the concept of neighborhood watch, that the Public Works Department in cooperation with the Police Department have been working very close, and this is not just a surveillance program, which I often think of neighborhood watch, but rather it's community people coming together to address all issues in that community, and not just legal issues, not just surveillance issues, but anything of concern to those individuals. So we really want to emphasize that as an avenue to be taken by neighborhoods, individuals coming together, and the commitment of the police department and public works to meet regularly with those groups, to work through any issues in that community. So I think that's really important. I end with admonitions, which is kind of, I guess you'd call operating principles. As I met with department heads, there were certain phrases expressed by them that I didn't want to lose. And so they're expressed there in terms of kind of how we intend to operate in carrying out this program. Are there any questions or comments from council?
Any questions or comments? Councilmember Hansen.
I would just like to thank Doug for putting this together. I think it is something that we need to share with the public so that everyone understands what the process is, because I think a lot of it is not knowing what the process is and people not being able to get the answer that they're really looking for. And if we could get this on the website, as you've already mentioned, and in the local newspaper, even you know, if we put it in once or twice a year in the local newspaper, just to remind people that this is how you go about it. And thank you again for your work on it.
Any other comments or questions from the council? No? Thank you, Councilmember Dunn. We'll now move to item number 5. Discussion of possible approval to direct the city attorney and code enforcement officer to condemn and demolish 109 D Street, Bisbee, Arizona, 85603. Ms. Elda Orduño.
Mayor and Council, basically, this matter came to the city by Wells Fargo, in which they contacted Mr. Joe Ward and the city attorney's office requesting to condemn a property and demolish the vacant residence at 109 D Street in Saginaw. Wells Fargo is interested in having the residence demolished, and they are willing to pay the expense for that, which I believe is $4,975. And they are asking approval of the city to do so. Currently, taxes are owed on the property, back taxes, and they have not been paid for over 5 years. The amount due is $4,145. Those are owing as of October 13th, 2015. However, there is a tax lien holder on the property, so those taxes have actually been paid by the lien holder. So should the city approve the demolition, basically the tax lien holder will benefit in that the property will be cleaned and cleared out of the of the property that's currently there. It seems that we're not making a recommendation either way, but the request is whether or not the council is to will direct the city attorney and code enforcement officer to condemn and demolish that property at 109 D Street.
Any questions or comments from the council? The council was provided with some pictures, and we probably should proceed on this, would be my suggestion. Councilmember Hansen.
I had gotten an email asking about the possibility of that property being sold to somebody who wanted to fix it up type of thing. But that would not be able to happen because you've got somebody who's already got the tax lien on it. Is that correct?
Right. Okay. Basically, he'll have to redeem the property. The only other person that could come and try to get the property back is the current owner.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was the case.
Right.
Councilmember Connors.
Mayor, and we are not going to pay for this at all.
Not at all. No. Wells Fargo has a program where my understanding is they try to improve properties that they've given loans on when they're in the condition that this residence is in.
Any other questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move approval to direct the city attorney and code enforcement officer to condemn and demolish the property at 109 D Street in Bisbee, Arizona.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to direct the city attorney and code enforcement officer to condemn and demolish 109 D Street, Bisbee, Arizona, 85603. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes. Item number six, discussion and non-permitted filming that took place on November the 28th, 2015 in Old Bisbee. Council Member Sullivan requested this to be on the agenda. So my presumption is she called me up and wanted this on there, so we did that. My presumption is some people approached her and wanted this to talk about it, and so we put this on the agenda. We do have three people signed up, I believe, three, just to talk about this, and we'll go back to Mr. David Rose.
Good evening again. You already heard from me tonight about, you know, what I consider the overwhelmingly positive impacts of the film crews on our town. But I signed up so we could all have an interaction with the council on the issue of the permits. You know, I know that I think there was some breakdown in communication between the crew that was here and the city, and I just want to express my opinion that I don't want to see that this one time is used to hamper future crews coming in. We need to keep the permitting process as simple as possible. I believe that it should be like other cities where it is a city issue. So it would be, it would fall on like our city manager, Justin, and, Public Works. And I think that would be the most streamlined way to handle this. Once again, I just think that, so few crews film in Arizona because of the tax laws that are in place. We need to do everything we can to encourage more crews to come here and to spend their money in our towns, just in our hotels, restaurants, everything. So I really just feel that, I just want to make sure that, that you've heard me just say that I think that we should keep it as simple as possible, the permitting, and really streamline, just so we don't discourage other crews from coming. Any questions?
No? Okay, Mr. David Rose, thank you. Next, we'll go to Kathy Soden.
Kathy Soden, 3405 West Highway 80, Bisbee. There are many opinions about this filming incident. I mean, we could go on for days and say Susie was happy and Bobby was sad. But the bottom line is the film company knew they needed a permit, and they did not get one. This was an illegal act. Also, there was no reason for them to film on Saturday because all they did was scream at all the people and tell them to get out of the way, so it wasn't like they needed customers. So those two things alone made it seem really unlikely that they should have gotten away with this. The film company broke the law. despite what anyone did revenue-wise. Handicapped access to the post office was blocked, parking was limited, customers were not allowed on subway at all, and Main Street was blocked for almost 2 hours. I'm the coordinator for Bisbee After Five, so I represent about 40 merchants, and their money went into promoting this event and hiring musicians. Performers were assigned throughout areas in Bisbee to draw people to those shopping areas, but a lot of them weren't even able to reach their destination. One musician was not allowed to pull over and unload his keyboard, so he couldn't play at all. The carolers were told to shut up and move along. None of the performers were allowed on subway because it was closed most of the afternoon by the film crew. I'm not going to talk about what a business who's been in business for 3 months says, you know, like David did. Yeah, it was his best week. Well, he's only been there for three months. You know, the red bone. He's been in that building for 3 months. So, of course, it was his best week. It's been summer. I'm going to talk about people that have been in their businesses for like 5+ years in the same location. Rob Page said, at 8 a.m., there was but one trailer in the lot. By 11, it looked like an RV show. We were impacted. Customers could not park. Numbers were down compared to Friday. And Saturday income should have been much, much more. Floyd Lillard from Miners and Merchants had his entry blocked by the crew, and he said, we were at a standstill for 2 hours. It's normally our busiest day of the year. Robin Bray, Agave Art, on Subway, said crew members parked a very loud generator in front of the entrance to our shop. We had gunshots right here on the corner of our street, she said. Our business stopped at 2:45 p.m. Last year, we were open till 8. My shop, which has been up by 12% all year, was down by 20% that day. And I'm a block up from where all this happened. I happened to be out on the street all day because I was coordinating the event, so I saw it. If I hadn't been on the street, I wouldn't have even known it was happening where I am. And Christina probably didn't really know it was happening either because it happened out at Lower Main Street, but it affected all of us. The thing that was probably the worst is one lady posted on Facebook, and she's a customer. It didn't just disrupt businesses. My three little girls and I kept getting cut off and yelled at not to go near the crosswalks. This went on for so long, my kids ended up missing the Santa that was there for small town holiday, among other things going on. Extremely disappointed at how poorly this was handled on a day that had many, many different things going on. People were not even allowed to get to their homes. Had to explain to three broken-hearted little girls ages 8, 6, and 4 why they weren't allowed to see Santa. Our town is spending time and money promoting tourism. Allowing things like this to happen is totally counterproductive. I ask the council to get to the bottom of this and ensure the procedures are in place so it doesn't happen again. Please add this item to the next meeting's agenda as an action item. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathy Soden. Next we have Cynthia Conroy.
He said, she said, kind of reminds me, because I have a degree, Cynthia Conroy. I have a degree in psychology, and you know the old thing, and if you've never seen it, you should read it. There's a street corner, and there's people on opposite sides of the street corner, and they're observing an accident, and then the police have to go investigate the accident. And sure enough, the people on the right side of the street, and the people on the left side of the street, saw a completely different person at fault, saw a completely different way that the damages happened, and so there was no agreement between those eyewitnesses. And this probably happens, you're a lawyer, this probably happens a great number of times in auto accidents. What else happens really frequently? Well, in Bisbee, it's any kind of event where people can take a different opinion. For example, I know the Bisbee 1000, which brings 2,000 people to town for over 10 years, causes most of these people to not have good business. Stand up, Kathy. Your business is down 20% when the Bisbee 1000 happens.
Wait. We're out of order. When somebody's speaking, we have to respect whatever they're saying, whether it's a different viewpoint. And so,
no, their laughter was because they think I'm a ridiculous lying fool.
Let's not go there. Yeah, let's move on and state our beliefs. And
okay. So here's the deal. This is not about beliefs, as David Rose gave a number of facts. Kathy talked about the people who were harmed, so I'm going to talk about the 6 out of 7 people on Subway Street that I visited the following 2 days later. I can tell you exactly what all of them said, but I'll tell you what they all said. It was the best day they ever had. Now, Agave is up on the side street of Subway. The reason I was particularly interested in Subway is I've been there on a number of occasions because I believe Subway is one of the finest shopping streets that we have in terms of the quality of the people and the interest they have, and they've all been in business there between 1 and 8 years, up to the glassblower and people like that. The glassblower said at 4 o'clock he had some impact on people not being able to get to his shop. But he said that often happens in late afternoon, so it didn't bother him a bit. Almost all of them said they had their best day or a great day. So that's Subway, a subset of Main Street, Kathy's domain. So anyway, to go on, I didn't walk up and down Main Street because I was doing killing two birds with one stone, which I like to do, which is why I'm very familiar with what happened on Subway. I also want to tell my personal experience was, Rob Page. Rob Page's business was up 30% that day, so I don't know if we're talking about the same Rob Page, but he'll be glad to come clarify how his business and how his lot was not impacted because he gave permission for that property to be used. Now, in that case, for example, I went there at 8:30 in the morning not knowing anything was going on because why would I, right? It didn't make the headline. The thing we missed was not advertising they were here because we all love filmmaking. So I went at 8:30 with a friend from Tucson who I was driving back to her house. I was so impressed and excited as a local and a person who loves film that I said, well, let's get out and get a coffee. That was our plan, and we'll see what's going on. So we started talking here. We started doing this. We started doing that. And so before long, 2.5 hours went by, and she started shopping, which she had no intention of doing. We were going get a cup of coffee at 8:30, leave at 8:45 for Tucson because she had things to do. Okay? Well, she changed her behaviors. Many of the people that I talked to and heard stories from was much more similar to that. Sharp Poirier didn't make this stuff up. She's a newspaper reporter. She didn't write this because she has a vendetta. Kathy, would you be quiet? You're so damn
okay,
rude.
Okay. Let's stop. We're out of order.
Anyway, as I was saying, the hostility in this town that is evident tonight. I've lived here 30 years. I've only experienced her for about the last 8. But anyway, short of the last few years with the hostility of the mayor we had back for a while when the streets could never be closed again, and that's still a problem. Can our streets be closed can they never be closed because it impacts Kathy's business by 20%? I don't know, but I think we should talk about these things. So put it on the agenda, and we'll keep beating it up. But you know what? It's not just the film. The existence of a filming that was a benefit.
Excuse me, Ms. Conroy. There's beeping going on. This is not
that was the 3 minutes.
Well, I don't have time limits on agenda items. Now, if it gets redundant, then we have a time limit. Ms. Conroy, you have finished?
I can't wait to read the newspaper article Christine Steele's going to write tomorrow. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is for a person who's lived here 30 years, raised children here, loves this town, I want to congratulate people like Karen Justice who get in here and share their talents and offer them to this council. I thought that was wonderful, generous, and I would also recommend you take her up on it. I admire people who come here and work 7 days a week, you know, and are the backbone of Bisbee, not just people who work part-time here. I also love the part-timers. I just think that we need to quit fighting with one another, and thank God the leadership of the council has changed to be much more positive than it was a few years ago. I can't tell you how I believe the city staff has changed. This year's Bisbee 1000 was, after many years,
we're
the easiest
off
to do.
We're getting off subject matter a little bit.
No, to me it's all about the positive. The story here that's never been reported is how positive the sheriff's office, and Kathy says people were being yelled at. I was there for 2.5 hours. I watched the little sheriff volunteer. He never yelled at anybody. He just kept people safe. Okay. So I don't get it. Our views were completely different, and we were in the same place. So I go back to perception is a weird and wonderful thing, and thank you all for your 4 minutes of your time.
Ms. Conroy, thank you. Just a clarification. The call to the public is around 3 minutes, but agenda items, I don't have a time limit on that, but if it gets redundant, then I kind of interrupt a little bit like I've done. So
people
are going off back
there
taking, I don't know why somebody has a timer back there. But Ms. Conroy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we will just a quick comment. Once again, this was placed on the agenda by Councilmember Sullivan. As I said earlier, I presume that some people approached her for this to be discussed. Obviously, a mistake was made, and I'm sure staff and council and is aware of that, and hopefully that won't happen again, and I feel confident that won't. So we are aware of that situation, and we'll make sure that doesn't happen again. Thank you. Any other comments or questions from the council on that subject matter? No?
Well,
Councilmember Dunn.
I think that certainly I want to repeat that we do have procedures in place, and we will continue to have appropriate procedures in place. I think on this particular incident that there was, in my opinion, a certain amount of deception on the part of the filmmaker. Obviously took some actions that, you know, if they were above board, would not have taken. What do we do? You know, do we want to take action in punishing them? I don't think so. We certainly want to encourage filmmaking here, and hopefully this is, I'm confident this will not happen again. It hasn't happened in the past. It will not happen again in the future, and I apologize to merchants, of which I am one, on Main Street for this disruption.
Thank you. Any other comments? No other comments? That concludes item number 6. Next, we'll go to the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Very briefly, you all received or should have received by now your monthly financials. I just wanted to point out with 42% of the fiscal year that's elapsed, year over year on the revenue side, we're up about 2.7%, specifically in the areas of license and permits fees. We're up about 10.8%. And also charges for services pretty significantly. We're up about 19.4%. And year over year, last year we were at $436,169, and this year we're at $631,727. I think one of the things I bring that up is because, you know, what was stated in, as we just heard in the presentation from the auditor, that we specifically saw a decrease in some of those ambulance fees, and so with the leadership of you all, we have seen an uptick. On the expenditure side, last year, $2,577,000. This year, we're at $2,962,000, right around at 39.9%, still below, you know, if we're looking at a 42% of the year elapsed, we're well below that. But obviously, we're identify cost-saving measures going forward so that we're proactive in leading up to the upcoming budget year. And also, I wanted to just make mention, I received an email from Randy Heiss from SEGO earlier today, and he sent an email with a spreadsheet that listed the census projections, I think, pretty significantly. And it reported that in 2010, the 2010 census, we were at our population was about 5,575 people. And in July 2015, the documents say that we are at 5,297 people. So we've seen a decrease of over 200 people. And so, but again, that is a projection. So and that's pretty significant information. So I just wanted you all to be aware of that, and I can go ahead and send that spreadsheet over to you all tomorrow. All right, and that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Council comments. We have Council Member Klein.
Thank you, Mayor. First off, I would like to congratulate Captain George Castillo with Bisbee Fire Department. On December 5th, Captain Castillo reached a milestone in his career, having served 25 years with the Bisbee Fire Department. So on behalf of the City of Bisbee, I wish to thank Captain Castillo for his dedicated service and commitment to the citizens of Bisbee and the surrounding areas. And again, congratulations, Captain Castillo. And I was late getting this in for our last meeting, so I apologize to the firefighters. But on November 24th, Bisbee Fire distributed 140 boxes of food for Thanksgiving. All requests were met, and with that, we'd like to thank everyone who donated food, money, and time to help the firefighters provide a nice dinner for so many families in our community. And the firefighters are continuing to collect food, money, and toys for the Christmas holiday food drive. The donations may be dropped off at either fire station or in front of Safeway if they are out there. The last day to donate will be Sunday the 20th in order to give the firefighters time to put the boxes together for the pickup on Tuesday. And just hot off the presses, on Saturday the 19th, bring the kids down to Safeway from 12 to 4 to meet Santa. So the lady that had the three kids that didn't get to meet Santa, he will be there at Safeway from noon to 4 with his elves. And I also hear that Sparky will be there with his firefighters. And this will be their last big drive for donations. So let's help these guys out as they continue to work so very hard for this community. And also a big congratulations to firefighters Andy DeCastro, Aaron Helton, and Nick Rivera, as they completed their probationary period and were sworn in and pinned as official firefighters. Job well done, men, and we are so very proud of your accomplishments. And also, that same day, I was also honored by the fire department and pinned by my son. And I just, when Diana Metzler asked me for a comment, I really didn't have one at the time because I was so surprised. But I do want to tell them that I am extremely humbled, honored, and proud to officially join the ranks with the fire department, having been a part of this fire family since I was 4 years old. And as always, my heart is always with that department. And with that, I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a very happy and safe New Year's. Be safe out there. See you next year.
Councilman Klein, thank you very much for the information and comments. Well taken. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. 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 Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.